For the safety of your smile, use Pepsodent twice a day. See your dentist twice a year.
The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
Your back on the look has left you with a mope. Your captain and soldier defense that sheriff gets Bob Hope.
Ah, thank you so much. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Walt Disney Hope telling you to use Pepsodent. You won't have any jumbos in your gumbos. Or, this is Bob Tire Conservation Hope telling you if you change to Pepsodent, your teeth will always have white sidewalls, you'll get better smileage, and never need a new set of treads in your head. Well, everyone is talking about the rubber shortage, and you have to be awfully careful these days. They'll steal anything that's made of rubber. Some poor guy had a suspender stolen on Hollywood Boulevard yesterday, and his pants fell down. But I was wearing my bloomers at the time. And today I saw one of the dead-end kids rolling a new tire past my house, so I said, what did you pay for that tire? He said, I don't know. What did you pay for it? You know, you can save your tires by putting your brakes on easy and by starting up slow at red lights. I started up slow when the light turned green this morning, and I drove 10 miles with three cars from Glendale on top of my Pontiac. Everyone will have to help. The women will have to sacrifice and keep wearing their old girdles. That's no snap. But... I don't mind giving up rubber, metal, paper bags, wood, and even tinfoil, but gee whiz, I hope they won't make Nelson Eddy stop delivering my shortening bread. And with a shortage of automobiles, we may even have to go back to the days of the horse and buggy. Can you imagine walking down Hollywood Boulevard and seeing horses on the street, and some of them in flats in the sidewalk? Everyone out here is practicing riding a bicycle in case we have an auto shortage. I took Hedy Lamarr bicycling yesterday over all the big hills around here, and it was a lot of fun, but I kept falling off the handlebars. And I saw Edward Arnold walking down the street today, and I said, you know, Ed, you ought to start riding a bicycle. He said, look closely, I am. But I'm really an expert bicycle rider, though. I was riding down the road in front of my house, and I turned to some friends and said, look, no hands. And you should have heard them cheer as I disappeared down that open manhole. Bing Crosby has a bicycle built for two, and it sure looks cute as they go by, just him and the stork clapping along. But I want to tell you, Bing is really doing his bit for the country. Crosby sent all his horses to the cavalry, but they sent a note back saying, no thanks, they did their bit in the last war. But there's one man on this Colonna. Oh, Professor.
No rubber on my heels.
Well, tell me, Professor, what are you doing to conserve your tires?
I worked out a simple scheme. I used two at a time and put them on my car, corner caddy.
Colonna, caddy corners.
Corner caddy.
Caddy corner.
Corner caddy.
Caddy corner.
What's the difference? Somebody swiped them anyway.
You know, Colonna, there are a lot of shortages. For instance, I'm having a problem with my sugar.
What's that?
Colonna, my sugar. My sugar.
Too bad you didn't speak sooner. I got engaged yesterday.
Colonna, you know, you awaken the beast in me.
I know. He left the 7 o'clock call.
Colonna, I can see that you're not patriotic.
Don't be silly, Hope. I'm very patriotic. All this week, I've been busy collecting defense blondes.
No, look, Professor, you mean you've been busy collecting defense bonds.
Blonde.
Bond.
Blonde.
Bond.
Well, you have your fun, and I'll have mine.
But, Colonna, I'm speaking about our country's defense bonds. Did you buy any?
Yes, I certainly did, Hope. And I've got them all hidden away in a very safe place with all my $5 bills.
Where, Colonna?
Oh, in a little compartment inside my head.
But that's ridiculous, Professor. It's absolutely impossible for anyone to keep $5 bills in his head. Colonna, what's the matter?
Lincoln's beard tickles.
Professor, in view of the emergency created by the rubber shortage, have you a message to the women of America who have sacrificed their girdles?
Yes. Women of America? Chunky little rascals, aren't you?
You know, Colonna, you've got a half a brain in your head.
A half?
Yes.
What do you know? Something new has been added.
And something new has been added all around this year. I'm working for a new sponsor.
New sponsor?
That's right, Skin.
Man, I just learned how to say composite metaphosphate. Now we're changing sponsors.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Bob Hope and Company have a new sponsor starting tonight. This is the first announcement of it. Folks, I'm proud to tell you our new sponsor is an old friend in a new dress. A real smoothie, the new Pepsodent toothpaste.
Yes, it's true. The new improved Pepsodent toothpaste is one of the smoothest, one of the best-tasting toothpaste you've ever known. It's snowy white, creamy, with a flavor that tastes like springtime. And it's more active, works faster. That's because it's more irium active. Did you get that? More irium active. And let me tell you what that is all about. The new improved Pepsodent toothpaste contains 180% more irium than before. 180% more. Now, you know what that means.
It goes to work faster.
That's right.
It's foamier.
Right again.
It makes teeth feel cleaner, quicker.
Sure it does. And that delightful, fresh flavor cools your mouth, wakes up your taste, makes you feel good all over. Don't wait another day to try this delightful new Pepsodent toothpaste. Your drug counter is stocked with this new Pepsodent, so go down to your drug counter tonight and say, Pepsodent toothpaste, please.
And here's Francis Langford with Six Hits and a Miss singing You Made Me Love You and dedicating it to the boys at Camp Forest, Tennessee. Take it back.
You made me love you. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me love you. And all the time you knew it, I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad. But there were times, dear, you made me feel so bad. You made me sad, boy. I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you. I want some love, that's true. Yes, I do. Indeed, I do. You know I do. Gimme, gimme, gimme what I cry for. You know you got the brand of kisses that I die for. You know you made me love you.
I didn't wanna, but baby, you made me. I didn't wanna, but baby, you made me. You made me love you.
I didn't wanna do it. I didn't wanna do it.
You made me want you.
And all the time you knew it, I guess you always knew it. Sometimes I'm happy, sometimes I'm glad. But there were times, dear, you made me feel so sad.
You made me cry for.
I didn't want to tell you, I didn't want to tell you.
I want some love that's
yes, I do. Indeed, I do. You know I do. Gimme, gimme, gimme what I cry for. You know you got the brand of kisses that I die for. You know you made me love you.
You made me love you.
That was Francis Langford and the Six Sisters of Miss singing You Made Me Love You for the boys at Camp Forest, Tennessee. And the way you sang that, Francis, you made me love you.
Now, now, Bob, don't start giving me your line again.
Why, Francis, in all the time you've been on this program, I've been a perfect gentleman, haven't I? I've never kissed you or tried to hug you or hold your hand, have I?
No, Bob.
Is your brother really a cop?
By the way, Bob, I want to thank you for inviting me over to Fairmount to see you making your new picture with Madeline Carroll.
Say, Francis, you notice my dressing room window faces Maddie's dressing room window.
Yes, and that's a cute idea she has. Barbed wire curtains.
Yeah, they keep the sun out, my mother's. But, Francis, don't I make a romantic figure in my love scenes with Madeline?
Oh, yes, Bob. I love the way the light in your brown eyes shines on the bags below.
You add things after rehearsal.
But I'm only kidding, Bob. Skinny Ennis, Betty Hutton, Ben Gage, and myself all think you're a great actor. And we went around telling that to everybody.
Oh, thanks, Francis. That was nice of you. After all, I don't like to blow my own horn.
Well, just keep a firm grip on our options, Bob, and you've got a brass section for life. See you later.
Thank you, Francis. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to present one of Hollywood's finest actors and comedians, soon to be seen in the Warner Brothers picture, Arsenic and Olay's, Mr. Edward Everett Horton.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed.
There you are, Eddie. Did you like that introduction?
Oh, it was nice, wasn't it? What I mean is it sounded so sincere. Do you always sound so sincere, Bob?
No, but I'm getting a little practice. I appear before my draft board tomorrow.
You appear before the draft board? My word, they must be desperate for men.
Why, what's wrong with me, Eddie?
Oh, nothing, nothing, nothing. I just thought they were taking the young fellows first.
Oh, I'm ready to go any minute, but I've got dependents.
Yes, I suppose you have, but isn't that overdoing it, walking up and down in front of the draft board all day long with baby snooks in your arms?
Yes, and I kept tripping over my skirt.
Tell me, Bob, what part of it do they build? What part of it do they build here in this room?
Just a minute, Edward. This is NBC. I was tripping over that egg there, too. This is NBC. No one's building anything. I'm just in here to tell jokes.
My word, really? You mean there's a place this size left in Los Angeles where they don't make airplanes?
Why, Eddie, whatever gave you the idea that they were making airplanes here?
Well, when I came in, Bob, you were standing, so all I could see was your profile, and boy, oh boy, just look at that propeller.
Well, it comes in handy for prying tires off parked cars, anyway.
Bob, how come your nose tilts so much?
Well, the stork that delivered me was up the night before playing a pinball machine. Tell me, Everett, I mean Eddie. Say, where'd you get that middle name?
Oh, Everett? Well, my father reads history books. What's your middle name?
Panatella. My old man reads cigar wrappers.
But seriously, Bob, you mean you haven't got a third name that people call you by?
Well, yes, I have.
What is it?
Oh, it's hardly worth going off the air for. By the way, do you listen to our show, Ed?
Yes, indeed, Bob. I always tune in on your show, and you are one of the funniest men on the radio today.
Oh, really? Well, that's quite a compliment you've given me.
Yes, well, this is quite a script you've given me.
Well, I thought I was doing all right, Eddie. I've been on this program 4 years.
Really? Well, I don't see why you spent your time so foolishly in 4 years. My word, you could have gone through high school.
Why, I went to high school. At least I went 2 years.
Why didn't you finish?
Well, by that time, I got so I could figure out the Esquire cartoons and what else does a guy need.
Oh, that's very funny, huh? Esquire cartoons? Are there cartoons in Esquire? I never noticed them.
Would you like to appear in Hobby Lobby? Oh, by the way, Eddie, I saw you last week at the El Capitan Theater here, and you were swelling your play, Springtime for Henry.
Oh, thank you, Bob. And if I do say it myself, I made quite a bit of money with Springtime for Henry.
Yeah, well, you're going to be sorry around March 15th.
Why? What's March 15th?
Springtime for Henry Morgenthau. Well, But I saw your play, Ed, and your performance was great.
I saw you in Louisiana Purchase.
And my performance was...
And in Technicolor, too.
What are you doing these days, Eddie?
Well, I just finished making a new picture for Warner Brothers, Arsenic and Old Lace. It's a horror picture.
Oh, how nice. You know, I've appeared in some horror pictures, too.
I know, but this one is intentional. The picture, Bob, the picture is about two ladies who murder all their male roomers.
Gosh, they really mean it when they tell you your week is up, huh? Well, I'd like to see how they murdered those fellas. Could we act out a little picture right here?
Well, I guess we could. Have we got anybody we could use for a corpse?
Oh, sure, that's Skinny Anna. See him over there?
Really?
I thought we could use him for a corpse.
Don't you think he's a little too far gone? Bob, really, really, so that's Skinny Anna?
Yes, Eddie. Oh,
he must have had a lovely funeral.
Well, Eddie, it's been swell having you here. You know,
thank
most
you.
People in Hollywood have been on this show three or four times, but this is your first visit, isn't it?
Yes, yes, Bob. I insisted on money.
Well...
But really, really, Bob, I had a purpose in appearing here tonight. I'm going to turn your check over to the government.
Oh, why, Eddie, that's mighty generous of you.
Well, you know, Bob, anything to help out during this rubber shortage.
With Everett Horton, and he'll be back in a few minutes, folks. And here is Betty Hutton and the Six Bits of the Mist singing Hey, Lady Bird. Let me hear it, Betty.
Lady Bird, Lady Bird, fly away home. Your heart's on fire, you'd better go home. Lady Bird, Lady Bird, sure as you're born, leave the boy blue, come blow.
Blow your horn,
I'm gonna be a shady lady bird. I got an awful lot to learn. And if you tell me that my heart's on fire, I'm gonna let it burn. I'm gonna be a shocking mockingbird. I'm gonna mingle with the best. I'm gonna try to find my heart's desire. I'm gonna rob the nest. Just like little Miss Muffet eating her way in turn. When I exhibit Muffet, frightens away the bird. I'm gonna be a plumbing hummingbird. I'm gonna pass along the word. I'm gonna have my fun and never tire. And if my technique seems absurd, that's because I've never been a shady lady bird.
You're gonna be a shady lady bird. You've got an awful lot to learn. Shady, shady lady bird.
I'm gonna let it burn.
Gonna jock the mockingbird. You're gonna mingle with the best. Baby, look out.
I'm gonna rob the nest. Not like little Jack Horner eating his pudding pie. I won't sit in the corner saying what a good girl am I. I'm gonna be a wicked chickadee. I'm gonna sit up on the fence. I'm gonna build myself a lovely dream. And if it don't use common sense, that's because I've never been a shady lady. A shady lady.
Hutton and the Six Hits and the Mist. Betty Hutton singing Shady Ladybird. Okay, Larry.
Well, Bob, tonight I want to tell the folks about a new and very important last-minute checkup on their attractiveness. It's called Pepsodent's new 2-second beauty test for teeth. Pepsodent's tongue test. It tells you quickly and conclusively if your teeth are as clean and bright as they ought to be. It tells you in a flash if your smile will register as you want it to. It's very simple. Try it right now and you'll see what I mean.
Right now, run the tip of your tongue over your teeth. Feel that filmy coating? That's what dentists call materia alba. And it doesn't belong on teeth. It collects stains, makes teeth look dingy, makes your mouth feel unhappy. And what's more, it's a sign that your present toothpaste may be letting you down. It's a sign that you ought to switch to the new improved Pepsodent toothpaste, because Pepsodent fights this filmy coating in two ways.
First, because of the higher irium content, it acts quickly to loosen and wash away the sticky coating. And second, its exclusive polishing agent buffs teeth to such a shiny smoothness that coating slides off, doesn't collect and stain. So run your tongue over your teeth right now. You can tell in 2 seconds that you need the new high-speed action of this new Pepsodent toothpaste. And when you use it, you've got a thrill coming. It's so smooth, so tasty. It will make your mouth feel like a fresh spring morning. Go to your drug counter tonight and say, Pepsodent toothpaste, please.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we resume reading The Life of Bob Hope, They Got Me Covered. We take it out and vary. In the past weeks, we have shown you how Robert grows up. In growing up, he passes through many periods. First, babyhood. We find him uttering his first words to the baby in the next crib.
Hiya, babe.
During his infancy, Robert's mother was very proud of him. And here we find her showing baby Robert to a neighbor for the first time.
Oh, Mr. Horton, look, I have a surprise for you. This is Robert.
Oh, my, how cute. But hasn't he got awfully large ears for a bloodhound?
Yes, Robert's mother was very proud of him. She used to put him up where all the neighbors could see him, where he was in plain sight of everyone. And she used to say,
Come on, folks, fire up. It's only a nickel for three baseballs.
Several baseballs hit Robert on the head, and he decides to become a comedian. He comes... He comes to Hollywood and at once decides to make a name for himself in Hollywood's fastest growing industry. He goes to work. But the tires are glued on. However, Bob soon gets a job in pictures. His great success continues in Hollywood, and finally, Bob Hope decides to hire a valet. He interviews applicants.
Are you a gentleman's gentleman?
Yes, sir, but in your case, I'm willing to make an exception.
So he hires Edward Everett Horton as his valet. And now we find them getting ready for a big evening.
Oh, Mr. Hope.
Yes, Edward.
I have a hot tub ready.
A hot tub? Ain't we got enough tubs without you stealing another one?
Oh, for goodness sake, somebody join me. What I meant to say, sir, was that your bath is ready. Here, get in.
All right, I'll get in. Here I am, and the water is just right.
Sir?
Yes, yes. What is it, Edward?
Well, perhaps it's none of my business, sir, but don't you think you're getting a bit too big for the sink?
All right, I'll get out and get dressed. Now I'll dab myself with some of this OD cologne. There, I spilled quite a bit on. Take a deep breath, Edward. How does that smell?
Use a little more, sir. You're gaining on it.
I want to be well-dressed tonight, Edward. Remember, this is an important affair, so put out my best clothes. I want to walk in there feeling solid.
There. There. How is that now? Do you feel solid?
No, lace me tighter.
I can't lace you tighter, sir. You've got more bustle than I've got muscle.
Well, say, Edward, we better hurry. I've got to go to the premiere of Madeline Carroll's new picture this evening. Say, did Maddie call me yet?
Yes, sir. Everything.
Oh, well, I'm taking Betty Hutton anyway. I phoned for a cab a half an hour ago. I can't understand why it isn't here. Hello?
Hello. This is cab driver Colonna, master of transportation, expert driver of safety cabs, guardian of public conveyances, also special rates for running over jacks.
Listen, Professor, you were supposed to be here long ago in your taxi. Where are you?
Well, Hope, I'm on a very winding street. I think I went a couple of blocks out of my way. Just here.
Well, what does it say?
Say, Hope, where's the Burma Road?
Colonna, stop fooling. You can't be on the Burma Road.
Chinese woman driver.
Listen, Professor, you're acting silly. Do you feel all right?
Of course, I'm in good condition. I always keep myself in the funk.
No, no, pink.
Punk.
Pink.
Punk.
Pink.
Call it, table tennis, and the heck with it.
Such talk. Colonna, where is your brain?
Working nights at Lockheed. Say, Hope, if you haven't got anything to do tonight, how about you and me playing a game of tiddly tink?
No, no, you mean tiddly wink.
Tink.
Wink.
Tink.
Wink.
Oh, anyone listening to this program knows it's tink.
No applause in there, please.
find him, Edward. He'll be here soon. I better hurry and get dressed. Open the closet to get my dinner jacket out.
Yes, sir. Why, there are a lot of moths in there. They're really moths that are really up to date.
They're up to date. Are they eating my tuxedo?
No, sir. They're flying over it and bombing it with moths.
Well, come on, Edward. Let's go outside and get a cab.
Yes.
Here comes the taxi. He's coming pretty fast. Oh, taxi! Taxi! Stop! Who, me? Come on, Edward. Let's get in. Start the motor, Kelowna.
Motor? You mean other cabs have motors?
Certainly.
No wonder I feel so tired. I have to pedal all day.
Oh, Bob, here I am. I hope I'm not late.
No, you're just on time. Come on, Betty, hop in the cab.
Say, Bob, before we go any further, there's one thing I want to know. Who's paying for this cab?
Why, Betty, how can you ask a thing like that? You know what a gentleman I am, and you know how I arrange for paying everything when I take a girl out.
Okay, get out the dice.
Betty, please, Betty, don't talk that way to Bob. After all, he's taking you to the theater tonight, to an opening.
Yes, to an opening.
See, Bob, you think I'll be able to fit through that hole in the wall?
Well, come on, Kelowna, drive us to the Paramount Theater.
Why, rather crammed back here in the cab.
You're right, Mr. Horton, it is pretty crowded back here. Mind if I sit on your lap?
On my lap? Oh, well, this is, dear me, how embarrassing. Well, why should you want to do a thing like that?
Well, I'm getting a little tired of holding you on mine.
You know, Edward, Betty here is a wonderful jitterbug. Did you ever jitterbug?
Jitterbug? No, sir, but I have sometimes stepped on Japanese beetles.
Say, you guys in the back of the cab, are you kissing that girl?
No.
Are you holding hands with her?
No.
Are you hugging her?
Nope.
Want to get out and wait for the bus?
Listen, Professor, attend to your driving. Attend to your driving, will you?
Well, I'll do my best.
Run it right in through there. Attend to it, old boy. Right in through there.
Okay, hope. Say, we're coming to a crossroads. And on my left is a big truck coming at me doing 60 miles an hour.
Doing 60 miles an hour. Kelowna, stop and let the truck go through first.
Now, I just hope if the truck is on my left, that means I have the right of way. And if I have the right of way, that truck has to stop for me. Here goes. Think anybody believes this?
Okay, Bud, pull up to the curb.
Yes, officer.
Now tell me, Bud, where do you think you're going? To a fire?
Yeah, we're going to a fire. What about it?
Well, take me. I'm just a big squirt.
What do you know? We're out of gas.
Luckily, we're near this gas station, and it has a grease tip. All the car needs is a little gas and grease. I'll hop out and run the car up to the top. Well, car's way up on top of the grease pit now, and I'm standing under it.
Oh, Kelowna, you better get out from under the car. Only mechanics know how to work those things.
Don't be silly, Hope. Watch. I'll lower it very slowly. I'll have plenty of time to get out of the way.
Kelowna!
Let's call me Flathead.
All thanks for the memories, each schooner and her friends. Upon you we depend, and if our mightn't to your liking, we all bound then to thank you so much, and thanks for the memories of Edward Horton's twist as fun production is. Your jokes provoke the laughs from folks to fill a lengthy list. And thank you so much. Folks, due to the war in the Pacific, America is facing a vital shortage of tin. Accordingly, we have been urged to ask you to please not throw away your empty toothpaste or shaving cream tubes or any tubes of collapsible metal. These tubes are practically pure tin and are badly needed. Save them until you hear a further announcement over your radio. Next week, we'll all be back at the same time, broadcasting from the United States Naval Training Station at San Diego. And with us as our guests will be that MGM star, Robert Tarzana Young, Jerry Kelowna, Francis Langford, Betty Hutton, Skinny Ennis, the Six Hits and the Miss, and all the gang, and
Bob Hope.
Thank you, Ben Gates. Good night, everybody.
Ben Gage speaking. This is the National Broadcasting Company.